Okay, this week is Parshas Tetzaveh. This year is an unusual year. It's an Ibiyar. So it's not Parshas Zohar. It's interesting that the Svarim that I used to prepare does not that much on Parshas Tetzaveh.
Right.
Because the older Rabbanim, Parshas Zohar, they're talking about Purim, they're talking about Parshas Zohar, they have other things on their mind. So they don't develop Parshas Tetzaveh as the way they develop the other Parshas. But first, let's begin with something important. Our mayor reminded us yesterday that today is Zayin Adar. Today is the yard site of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Only for Ashkenazim.
Only for Ashkenazim, because we know that in a year, let's assume that when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, we make this assumption, we don't know, there are different opinions concerning this matter, it was only one Adar. We'll make that assumption. There was only one Adar, so we know that if a person dies in Chodesh Adar, there is a machlokes as when to commemorate the yard site in subsequent years, which are Ibiyar, which are double two Adars. Do you commemorate in Adar Aleph or in Adar Sheni? So the Ram Machaber, the Rav Yosef Karo, a Sephardi, says you should commemorate Adar Sheni. The Iker Adar is Adar Sheni, whereas the Ramah disagrees. And the Ramah says that you should, the Ikar Adar is Adar Rishon. So Svardim typically follow the Mechaber, Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. However, the Poskim say that it's not absolute that we follow the Ramah in this matter, so many have the custom to commemorate both. If one can fast both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, you commemorate both. Otherwise, you focus only on the Ikar, which is Adar Rishon. When it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is a public figure, so it's not for a person to follow his own personal minhag. You have to follow, the whole Klal Yisrael should follow one minhag, because he is Moshe Rabbeinu. So it appears that in Eretz Yisrael, which was established by Sfardim, they were the Ikar Yisha before the Talmidei HaGura came to Eretz Yisrael, was it 400 years ago? The Talmidei HaGura accepted not to chepa, not to go away from the accepted minhag in Eretz Yisrael, and to follow observing Zayin Adar, Adar Sheni. I assume that's what it says in the Sefer, is Adar Yom Hazeh. I don't know. I don't live there. I don't know. I have to ask my brother who's in Eretz Yisrael. I want to ask him what taka they do there, if he's familiar. People, Chever Kadisha, I'm sure it's a big thing, Chever Kadisha.
Bus is leaving somewhere.
Where? In New York, in America?
No.
In Eretz Yisrael? Okay, I don't know. But generally, it appears that Eretz Yisrael is Adar Sheni, but in Chutz Liaretz, it appears to be the custom of a Chever Kadisha who get together on Adar, Zayin Adar, Yosef Mishabin, to commemorate Adar Rishay. Now, why Adar Rishon is also noteworthy that Parshas Tetzaveh generally usually falls out approximately the time of Adar, of Zayin Adar. More or less, like this year, it's perfect. Zayin Adar, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Tetzaveh. And we all know that all the Parshas in the Torah from the time of the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned in every single Parsha with the exception of Parshas Tetzaveh. Why? Moshe said, Hashem, if you're not going to forgive Klal Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel, I don't want to have anything to do with the Sefer. I wanted my name to be deleted. So the word of a tzaddik is so powerful, even al tnai, it is fulfilled. Hashem left out Moshe Rabbeinu's name from one parsha to token fulfillment of his words, and it was selected Parshas Tetzaveh. The obvious question is, why Parshas Tetzaveh? Moshe made this statement in Parshas Kisisa. Parshas Kisisa would have been more appropriate. So the answer is, since Hashem, and since it had to be one parsha, and since the patir of Moshe is on his birth and his death is on approximately Parshas Tetzaveh, so it worked out. Al pi hashkacha pratis, the seder of the parshios is that it worked out that it was left out at the time of when he died, his patira. Just as a person leaves this world, when a person leaves this world, with him goes his name. When a person leaves his world, part of him leaves, so that's where his name was left, that Parshas Tetzaveh. Okay, so that's a general hakdama. Now, I want to bring out a few points. We all know that a Lag BaOmer, it's a craze. It's an inyan. It's a little bit more than we're used to, or accustomed to, that we commemorate the Patira of Rashbi, Abishim Bar Yochai. And this Patira is done with great celebration. It's great celebration that Rashbi was Nis'ala, Yom Hilula, he's in Shemayim, he revealed the Zohar, time of celebration. And yet, when Moshe Rabbeinu was niftar, it's not a time of celebration. It's a time of fasting. Everything's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's the proper thing is to fast. I even read a story yesterday, the Satmar Rav, when he was davening in Zayin Adar in Williamsburg, and the Shliach Tzibur, without asking him, left out Tachnun. Mm-hmm. Left out Tachnun in the Shachris. And he right away just finished on Eshrei, and he right away said the Kaddish. After the Kaddish, the Satmar Rav said to him, what did you do? Why did you leave out Tachnun? So he said, it's Zayin Adar. So he said, Pumfaker, it's Zayin Adar. It's the day you must say Tachnun. And he made the Tzibur say Tachnun, tremendous chiddush l'halacha, even after they already said Chatzi Kaddish. They already said, it's a nice shahoy, he brought down. After Chatzi Kaddish, he made the Olam say Tachnun because Zayin Adar. So the question is why? Why is...
Because he took the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael, so he's
a Tzioini. He's saying Moshe was a Tzioini. Moshe. And Rashbi? Rashbi was a Chassidisha. He was a Satan Chassid. Not exactly, right? But he's saying it was a Tzioini. All right.
They fast on the Zayin Adar, and they say Slichos, they say different tefillos, and they fast.
It's universally accepted that Zayin Adar is a day of Tzom, a day of fasting. So my point is, why is that so? Why is it that when it comes to Rashbi, it's a Yom Hilula, and Moshe, it's a Yom, it's accepted as a Yom of a Tainus? So I think the answer is very simple. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, let's go to the story of the Megillah. Haman cast a lot. When should he implement his plan to annihilate the Jewish people? The lot came out on Chodesh Adar. Chodesh Adar, he was thrilled. Why Chodesh Adar? Yo, it's the Chodesh Shemes by Moshe Rabbeinu. How did Chazal react to that? V'hu lo yoda that Moshe was born. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yimale Yomav Shel Tzadikim, that they live, years are Shlemois, they're complete years, and just like when Moshe died on Zayin Adar, Moshe was born. So Chazal revealed to us something very important. Zayin Adar, it's more important to focus on the fact, it's more important that Moshe was born. But the Goyim, even among us, there's this concept to celebrate someone's life. And they go to a funeral, some funerals are not so sad. And you come back and you ask, why was the funeral? It's a celebration of life. Now, that's not really a Jewish concept, but it's not necessarily not Jewish. There's such a concept to celebrate the person's life. Chazal make it very clear that Moshe's death is not the Iker. Haman, he looked at Moshe's Zayin Adar as the day of Moshe's death. Zayin Adar, for us, is the day V'hu lo yada asher noilad boi Moshe. And when was Moshe born? Now, this is a very important point. The Moshe's death, by the way, we know nothing about. We know nothing. The Torah makes it very clear. V'lo yada ish kuvurasa. No one knows where he was buried, how he was buried. He just disappeared into the sunset. Right? He finished his 13th Sifrei to the mountains. He wrote the Sifrei Torah, and he phased out. The Torah makes it very clear. Moshe Rabbeinu. The death is not the ikar. Don't even focus on the death. It's emphasized in the Torah, more so than anyone else. His absence, he phased out. But his birth? There's probably no one in the whole Torah, I should say no one, but he definitely rates very high on the list of where the Torah emphasizes his birth. What does it say about his birth? His birth was born in the darkest time of history of the world. What does it say in the beginning of Parsha Shemos? Vayoka melech chodosh al meshama sheloyada es Yosef, vayomer elamo, kol habein, hayiloid, hayoirot, hashlichu, v'chol habas tichayun. It was the worst of times. Vayitzah paro motam l'cholamo, kol habein, hayiloid, hayoirot, hashlichu, v'chol habas tichayun. It was a holocaust. This was mamish, the holocaust of the world. And what's the next pasuk? Vayelechish mi beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi, vatar yishavat helubein, vatera oso kitovu. Moshe was born. Nismale kol habayis, Rashi says, kishenoylad nismale habayis kulo oira. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's birth? It was a light of inspiration in the darkest time of the world. Moshe Rabbeinu's Zayin Adar is a Yom Tzom because it takes us back. We always reflect every generation, every point, everything is in cycles. You can always focus in life. There are times of life that are dark. There are good times and there are not such good times. There are different cycles. The Zayin Adar, it's not about Moshe's death. It's about Moshe's birth. Chazal say that. V'hu lo yoda. The Iker is the birth. And what's the birth? The birth is a reminder that even in the darkest of times, in the times of life and of generation of world history and personal matzavim, there's always a moment of atar ho'isha, Kadosh Baruch Hu is buried the refuah. Hashem creates the refuah. This infant will one day be the shoresh, the makar that will bring salvation. That is a very holy moment. That's a moment of tshuva. That's a moment of fast. If you're putting yourself in, and you're putting yourself in a frame of mind of churban, of tzara, and you need the or to guide you, you're not at the moment of Yeshua. You're at the potential moment of Yeshua. You're putting yourself in a frame of mind of even difficult moments of time. You just have to find that light, that source of inspiration to open up the darkness and bring salvation. That is what tshuva and fasting is all about. When a person fasts, he does tshuva, tzom, it's a time of darkness, and you connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You find in the darkness that source of light, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzadikim, maisim tovim, tzila, to open up the darkness and bring salvation. That's why it's Rashbi, it's a whole different thing, Rashbi. Rashbi is Zohar. We don't really know. I'm not sure anywhere it tells about the birth of Rashbi. There's such a thing about the birth of Rashbi. That's not what Chazal emphasized. Rashbi, the attack, the emphasis is he died. That was the big celebration. He died. He went to Shemaim, revealed the Zohar. That's a celebration of death, whatever that means. It's a mystical type. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the focus is not death. The focus is his birth. That's Zayin Adar. And the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu took place in the darkest time to show us there's a light, there's a spark which can enlighten us, guide us, that we can hold on to. We reenact that by fasting.
That's why you say Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av.
In the darkest time, Mashiach is born. We reenact that. We reenact that by fasting. Because fasting is the environment, is an environment of tzara, it's a recognition, but yet, nismale kol habayis oira. And perhaps for that reason, it always occurs, during Parshas Tetzaveh, because what is Parshas Tetzaveh? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Atah, you Moshe, Tetzaveh, Spes Nichoy Lecha, Shemen Zayizoch Kosis Lama'or Lahalos Ner Tomid. So it was a compensation. Hashem doesn't mention his name, but yet Hashem highlights him in a strong way, the Atah, you. You're so important, you're so central, the Atah. And where is Moshe emphasized even in a greater degree? Concerning Nismale Kol Habayis Oira. The Bayis is not the little hut that Amram and Yechevah lived in Egypt. The Bayis is the Beis HaMikdash. Nismale Kol Habayis Oira, that there is potential. Yeah, this is the Chora, a very important thing to emphasize on Zayin Adar. And there's one other very, very interesting thing which I came across from the Malbim. The Malbim says something very interesting. The end of the parasha, the last words of the parasha, reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, Parashas Tetzaveh, the last pasuk. Let me ask you how you would translate this pasuk. I'll tell you how the Malbim translates, and I'll show you his proof, and then this will all tie in directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. Let me just turn the pages. The end of the parasha concludes. The Chiper Aharon al Karnoisav. Aaron will sprinkle blood on the Mizbeach Hazav, achas bashana, midam chatas hakipurim, achas bashana, yichaper lov aledoro sechem. Last one to four words, kodesh kodoshim hu lahashem. What does that mean? Kodesh kodoshim. We're discussing the Mizbeach. Rashi, kodesh hakodoshim, hamizbeach. The Mizbeach Hazav, Mukdosh is sanctified, Lidvodim Halalu Bilvod. For these matters, holy matters, Yom Kippur matters, which are Kodesh Kodashim, V'loy La'avoid Acher. So Rashi clearly defines the subject of Kodesh Kodashim is the Mizbeach. The Targum says, V'chaper, V'chaper, Alohi Lidoro Seichon, Kodesh Kudshin Hu Kodom Hashem. He does not come and just says, to translate the words, Kodesh Kodashim, it is to Hashem. Doesn't really give any elaboration. The Malbim used to give a shir Friday night. The Maskilim would come to the shir. So this, I saw this recorded in the Sefer. I think it's the Shari Aaron. I saw this story recorded. He gave a shir Friday night, and it was packed. It wasn't packed because they really wanted to hear Divrei Torah. It was packed because they were looking to catch him. They were chalishing to get him to say something that might be. I mean, can you imagine if they had blogs those days? Oh, they had digital recorders. What would have been? So they were chalishing to catch him and to go make a bilbul upon him. So the audience was packed, and it's included the parasha. Kodesh Kodashim Hu LaHashem. Aroin is Kodesh Kodashim. Not like Rashi. Aharon HaKohen, he is Kodesh Kodashim. So it was unbelievable, they got him. He said something which L'chora is Apikorsis. How? The Malbim. The Malbim. We have in the Divrei Hayomim. We have in the whole Tanakh. Kodesh Kodesh Mu Lashem. They made a bilbul upon him. Look what he says, that Aaron, the Pasuk begins, Pasuk Givichiper, Aaron al Karnois, Vachas Bashana, Midam Chatas Akipurim, Achas Bashana once a year, Yechaper, Love the Rosechem. Aaron is Kodesh Kodesh, and that's what he's going to do once a year. So his son asked him later, well, my, what did you say something? You gave a fodder for all the cattle out there. Well, what's going on? So he told his son, I know what Rashi says, but it's the Farish Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim that I'm right. What's the Pasuk? So Divrei Hayomim Aleph, okay, we learned this a while ago. Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Pasuk there goes through the Yichus of Klal Yisrael, all the important people. We learned this, went through the direct charts. B'nei Kohas, who's coming from Pasuk Yid Beis, one Pasuk back. B'nei Kohas, Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, Uziel, Arba. We have Kohas, we have four children. Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. Now let's discuss Amram's children. B'nei Amram, Aharon, and Moshe. Okay, Miriam, for whatever reason, doesn't get mentioned here. I don't know why. Amram and Moshe. Pasuk continues. Got to look at the pasuk later on. Pasuk came Chav Gimel Yud Gimel. Vayibodel Aharon. Hashem separated Aharon lehakdishoy, to sanctify him as the Kohen Gadol. Kodesh Kodashim, to make Aaron into Kodesh Kodashim. Hu uvanov ad olam lehakdir, to bring ketores, like lahal ketores lifnei Hashem l'sharso, to minister ulavorich b'shmo and to say birchas kehanim ad olam. The pasuk clearly says that Aaron was selected, was removed from Moshe to become kodesh kodashim. Now, okay, now let's go further. What? Perikov gimel divayam aleph. Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk clearly says that Aaron, relative to Moshe, is Kodesh Kodashim. And the Pasuk, now let me just go tie this into what I want to bring out. That's what he told us. So I'm right. I don't need the Maskilim to make trouble for me. Okay, that's the story. That's where the story ends. There may be some more details, but it's not relative to our discussion. Now, I just want to add to that, relating to today being Zayin Adar, the yard site of Moshe, the birth of Moshe, always falling out near Parshas Tetzaveh, and Parshas Tetzaveh is the parsha which Moshe's name is not mentioned, but yet Hashem compensated by not mentioning his name. Hashem did other things. We know the classic example Hashem compensated is that in Parshas Vayakol Pekudei, Moshe's name is mentioned 18 times. Kasha Tziv Hashem, so that's the classic interpretation. Like Kodesh Baruch Hu takes away, always gives you back. Hashem took away Moshe in the Tzivi for the Kalim, but it was compensated in Parshas Vayakol Pekudei, how Moshe's name is mentioned every other pasuk. Kasha Tziv Hashem is Moshe 18 times. But even within this parasha itself, I want to show you that Moshe is mentioned in a very great way. Because the Pasuk, well, the Malbim goes further. This is an amazing Malbim. You have to go to the Malbim here in Divrei Hayamim. Go now to Pasuk the next Pasuk Gedalet. Moshe, Aaron was Kodesh Kadoshim. Moshe Ish Hu Elokim, Banov, his sons, Yikaru Al Shevet Halevi. This Pasuk is a very strange Pasuk. We're giving over the Yichus of the whole Klal of Klal Yisrael, of Amram. Aaron was separated. If we would not have Pasuk Yudal, you wouldn't blink. You'd go to Pasuk Tezvav, B'nei Moshe Govaita. What's this Pasuk Yudal, Moshe Ish, Rolikim, Bonav, Yikar, Al Shevet, HaLevi? What is the middle Pasuk? So the Farshim are quiet. They don't say anything. But the Malbum, Taka over here, says something. That's not part of the story. But you go look at the Malbum itself, writes the Pasuk Yudal. Pasuk Yudal, let me read the words of the Malbum. B'nei Amram, Ratzalaymar, the Ein L'chashev, from the children of Amram, guess what? There's one child that disappeared off the face of the earth. He's no longer considered part of Amram's children. That was Aaron. Because Amram was removed. Hashem made Amram Kodesh Kadoshim.
Aaron
was removed. The Ein L'chashev, Nibonav El Shevet HaLevi, don't count from Amram's children to Shevet Levi, Rak Moshe Levado. Ki Aaron Nivdal Min HaLevim Lios Kodesh Kadoshim. So what he's saying here is, the next Pasuk is telling us, it's part of Pasuk Gedal, and he's telling us, that's all that you got left. It's like, Rachman it's not like we have another view died, who's left over? Elozavi Sama. That was in the negative fashion. Here, Aaron had children, Moshe the Aaron was removed. Because he was elevated to a position that's outside the realm of this world, the world that we know it. This world, the most you can go is Kodesh. When you go into the realm of Kodesh Kadoshim, you're off the charts. You're not on record. There's no electronic footprint. You don't have any recording. You exist. So that's what the Pasuk Gidal means. Pasuk Yigimut says, Bnei Amram, who is Bnei Amram? Once upon a time in the good old days, there were two little kinderlach. There was Aaron and Moshe. But you know what happened? One of Amram's children disappeared. He disappeared for good. Vayibadel Aaron, liagdisho, kodesh kodoshim, hu banav ad olam, lahagdil lefnei Hashem l'shoyis l'verech b'shul ad olam. And now Pasuk Dalet tells us, and who's left over? Who's the last man standing? Moshe, he's the last guy left. Moshe, Ish Olakim Bonov, his children are the only ones Yikar Al Shevet HaLevi. Because Aaron is gone. Aaron was taken out of the realm of this world. They're not part of Shevet HaLevi. He's the leftover. So now when you take that idea, and you go to Parshas Tetzaveh, and Chazal, it's a Zohar. It's this whole thing the whole world is obsessed with. This is a Kabbalistic concept that Moshe is not mentioned in this week's Parsha because Hashem didn't say Moshe's name. But yet this Parsha sandwiches Moshe Rabbeinu, highlights Moshe Rabbeinu in a way that it does nowhere else in the entire Torah, from beginning to end. The beginning of the Parsha, it says, V'ata titzaveh es b'nei Yisrael. Hashem directs Moshe in the most direct way in the entire, there's no more direct mention of Moshe in the entire Torah, Chamisha Chumashah Torah, V'ata. Doesn't say Vayidaber Hashem Moshe le'matzav, this, that, the beginning, the first word. And what's the last words of the parasha? The last words? V'chiber Aharon al karnoisav. Aharon will put the blood on the corners of the Mizbeach. Achas bashonah midam chazach dipurim. Achas bashonah chazach dipurim. Achas bashonah chazach dipurim. You know why? Because Aharon is Kodesh Kodoshim hu l'Hashem. Aharon's out of the picture. And the male of Aaron's out of the picture, reference Divrei Hayam, who's left? Who Aaron and Moshe? We know that they were the team. They were the team from the very beginning. When Hashem says to Moshe by the snem, Moshe says, I have a brother, Aaron, he's the leader, he's guarding. So here the Pasuk says, Aaron's out of the picture. Because Aaron is Kodesh Kodoshim. Reference Divrei Hayam. What is Kodesh Kodoshim? Vayibodel Aaron Leos Kodesh Kodoshim. And who's left? Who's the last man standing? Moshe. So the end of the parasha in a very unique way, is highlighting Moshe Rabbeinu. The beginning of the parsha, V'ata Tetzaveh you Moshe Rabbeinu. The end of the parsha, there's no one else but Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the Moshe V'ad Moshe Lekom K'Moshe. That's what the parsha. Oh, but Moshe's name is not mentioned. That's right, Moshe's name is not mentioned. But it's still Moshe. Everything is still Moshe. Moshe doesn't need to be mentioned. It's still everything from the beginning to end. It's the ultimate compensation for the absence of the name Moshe itself.
So you're saying there's no direct... Right.
There's no direct, but the indirect mention is even greater. It's greater in Parshas Tetzaveh than anywhere else in the entire Torah, from beginning to end. The beginning, you have the Atah. It's an explicit mention of Moshe. And the end of the parasha is in the negative form. Don't even consider that Aaron is a partner with Moshe, because Aaron is in a different league. He's Kodesh Kodashim, Divrei Hayamim. And who's left? Who's left to be with us? Moshe. The Moshe of Yad Moshe, like Kam Ki Moshe. A little bit of a Jewish to explain. One other thing I want to point out is Moshe's name. Moshe has 10 names. We learn Divrei Hayam, beginning of Divrei Hayam, we have all the 10 names listed there. The Medrash, all the Yichus, Socho, Yikusiel, Yered, 10 names. You mentioned them on Simchas Torah. Which name is Moshe use? Which is the name of Moshe Rabbeinu? Kimin Hamayim Nishisiu, Basia. What is Moshe Kanot? What is Mayim? Where is Moshe name not mentioned? Where is the opening statement that it was selected not to mention Moshe? By Shemen Zayisach. Shemen is, they don't mix, doesn't mix with water. So when Hashem has to omit Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem chose to omit Moshe Rabbeinu specifically in reference to Shemen. Shemen is a different madrega. This Menachemina Mayim Mishisiu, that's one madrega. But you can't mention Moshe in connection with Shemen, because that represents a different role. The name represents your essence, your identity, your mission, your purpose in life. Moshe had a purpose, Kimin Amayim Mishisiu, to draw a cloud and stroll out of Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf. But here we're focusing on a different darga of Torah, of Shemen. Mimela, it's not the place to use the term Kimin Hamayim Mishisiu, which is lower than Shemen floats above Mayim. Okay, so these are a couple of ideas relating to the idea of Zainadar, Moshe.
What did Maskilim respond to this?
They had no response. It doesn't say that in the story. The Shayan just leaves that story there. It leaves the story there with the Maskilim. I find it would be very interesting. That's a technique to get a lot of people to come to Yeshir. Controversy always works. Okay, let's I don't think so. It doesn't seem give a share the parasha. I don't think so. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this idea is a half baked idea, but I think there's something here, and maybe you'll fill in some of the details. I discussed this, if I'm not mistaken, last year, but I want to add something, just tell you that part very quickly, to add a point which perhaps there might be some truth to. Before we go to that statement, let me tell you my Mechazal. The Gemara Masechet Megillah appears on, I know you like sources, on Daf, where is it? I better have it here. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Gemara, I'll find as I'm speaking to you. No, I'm sorry. It's in Menachos. Menachos Daf Mem Gimel. Menachos Daf Mem Gimel. The Gemara says something along these lines. Call me Sheyesh Lo Tfilin Bereishai and Tfilin Bezroyoi. You have Tfilin on your head, Tfilin on your arm, Tzitzis Bedigdoi, and a Mezuzah Bepischoi, a Mezuzah. There are four essential mitzvahs. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk, mezuzah bepischai. A mezuzah on your Pesach, muftach lo, that a chet will not come liyado, you will not come. And the Gemara even quotes a pasuk, sheva bayoim hilal ticha. I have praised you, Hashem, with seven. What are seven? The four corners of the garment, dalid, and then we have the tefillin, that's shel roish, shel yad, and the mezuzah is a total of seven. person has seven constant reminders. You have tzitzis reminding you, don't sin. And you have the tefillin reminding you, your head and your arm, and you have the mezuzah and your pesach. Seven things always reminding you, muftach lo, you'll not come li de'aver. Okay, this is a gemara, a very nice gemara. In fact, there's a beautiful remes. Mitzvahs. You're surrounded by mitzvahs. What is mitzvahs? Mitzvah shetevos. The mem is mezuzah. The tzadi is tzitzis. Vav tov is utfilin. Mezuzah, tzitzis, utfilin. You're mesuv of the mitzvahs. It's a gemara. You're mesuv of the mitzvahs. You're guaranteed you're not going to come lidei chet. Okay, that's a maimon chazal. Now, let's go a step further. Classic question. Probably the question of the parasha. Everyone likes to... It's like the question of the Beis Yosef for Chanukah, why are there 8 days of Chanukah, not 7 days? So what's the Beis Yosef's kasha for Parshas Tetzaveh? What is the Mizbeach HaKetores doing in Parshas Tetzaveh? Classic question, Mizbeach HaZav is one of the Kalim. L'choyre belongs in Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma, we have the Menorah, we have the Shulchan, we have the Mizbeach, we have the Mishkan. The Mizbeach Hazav is a kli. It's a kli shares. That's poles. You move it around. It's not so big. It belongs in Parshas Terumah. What is it doing here in the last Aliyah of Parshas Tetzav? Classic question. Probably the most classical answer is that it's not necessary. It's just a hider. If you don't have the Mizbeach Hazav, you're allowed to be makter ketores on the floor. The mokayim is what counts. The location. You can be makter on the floor. When it comes to the shulchan, if there's no shulchan, there's no lechem aponim. Bakery is closed. If there's no table, lunch will not be served. If there's no menorah, then you don't light, you don't go to the store and buy one of those little menorahs and you put on the table light. Just, you don't set up a makeshift menorah. You have to have a real menorah, a halach menorah, whatever halach menorah is, but you have to have at least something. You don't just can't put seven candles. You have to have a menorah, but when it comes to the Mizbeach, it has to be perfectly square with the corners to bring korbanos and so on and so forth. But when it comes to the Mizbeach Hazav, you want to bring keteres, it's not the akev. If there's no Mizbeach Hazav, you can be mounted the keteres on the ground. Okay, so that's the classic answer. That's why it's not essential. It was safe for the last after we learned all the things that are essential. But I want to suggest another approach, which is a very chiddush to say, and it's not a complete vart. I'm just giving you Rashi Prakim. Perhaps you can enhance it by figuring out if it's true or show me that it's completely off the wall. But let's go to the Kohen Gadol. This week we have the Kohen Gadol has 8 begadim. So many in the Farshim, the idea I'm telling you about tell you is very popular in different shapes and forms. Let's focus on a question. The Me'il. How many corners did the Me'il have? The Me'il was like a very big talus katan. There are different opinions what the Me'il looked like, but the Pashto says the Me'il was like a talus katan, a massive talus katan made from tcheles. It had 4 corners. So where are the tzitzis?
The
Me'il
was tcheles.
That was a korach set. A baggage, a kula tcheles. Chassidim, they love korach. You know that? A chassid once told me that by chassidim, the Rebbe always darshes korach. Korach is like a tzaddik. They're in love with korach. The Litvaks, they're not into korach. Hungarian. Korach was a Hungarian.
A lot of money. And he criticized everybody else.
He told me there's an in korach. Litvaks, they don't want to talk about korach. It's a rebel. They say that that all the people of this generation, if we were alive, Korach was so charismatic, was so. If we were living, if anyone today was alive at the time of Korach, there's no suffering, we would have been swept up by Korach. That's how charismatic and persuasive he was. Anyway, whatever. But Korach, that's not the halacha. It's a very good kash. Why doesn't the Me'il have tzitzis? It's a beged of dalid knoflis. The Torah says you need tzitzis. Where are the tzitzis? So it could be that some say the word tzitzis. Who says the word tzitzis? What? What can you? What are eating?
There's no, you don't know that it was or wasn't. So
what do you mean you can't eat? It's 4 corners.
But you were given a baguette.
Yeah.
The Torah doesn't say you should have tzitzis on that baguette.
It's self understood.
It's self understood. You wore tefillin, but you couldn't wear tefillin. You couldn't do it.
The Gemara says there was a makom yesh b'roish. There was enough space to put the tefillin also, the Gemara says. There was only one tefach.
He had shemayne begadim. He didn't have 9.
The tefillin is called a beged. That's a question. If it's a beged, the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol did wear tefillin. That's the Gemara's maskan. He did wear tefillin. The Kohen Gadol. All right, but it's a good question. Where are the tzitzis? So maybe there was tzitzis, like I told the base hamidrash models. You have tables. You have to lamashcha. When you eat kachem, you have to sit down. There were tables and chairs. There were bent picnic tables in the base hamidrash. Who says there weren't tzitzis on the meal? That's one approach. But the pashto says there was not. You don't find anywhere. You find they were. We don't know the pictures in the article. They were from the Edmund. Also, it's conjecture. We don't know exactly what the begadim looked like. We tried the best that we can, and that's it. So
a lot of things is like a shore. He doesn't know.
So you want to say there wasn't four corners? There wasn't, didn't cover of gufay? Okay, so there are different mahalkin. The pashup shad is l'chor, it should have required tzitzis, according to at least some opinions. So there is one of the popular approaches, this is really more drush, it's not necessarily halacha, is that was the pamoinim. The pamoinim on the bottom of the meal served, it was like an upgrade. Like the Kohen Gadol was like the bionic man. He was upgraded. The things that were the tzitzis that were for the ordinary person, for the Kohen Gadol, he was upgraded to a higher madrega. So what were his tzitzis? The pamoin. The nishma koiloi biva oyel hakodesh. As he moves and makes sounds. What's the sounds? The sounds are to remind you, a reminder. When you see tzitzis, though, there are two ways to be reminded. Shmiya and re'iya. Which we normally translate to mean that seeing is much better. That's not necessarily what Chazal mean. They're different. Sometimes Shmir is better, sometimes Riyah. Each one has its own unique Maila. Two different things. A person has tzitzis. Uri isem oisoy uzachartim is called mitzvah sashem. Kohen Gadol, he also has tzitzis. A different type of tzitzis. A tzitz that make noise. It makes noise. That sits the pamoinim. There's a pamoinim in the pamoin. There are pomegranates, and the pomegranates represent in many rimas. And just like the tzitz, we have all these numbers. The numbers, the gematrius of tzitzis is tayag mitzos. The rimoin represents the tayag mitzos. It was also a reminder of the mitzvah Hashem v'asisimos samoloi sosu. So, and it was that the garment was techelas, which is also the color of tzitzis. Upgrade. Okay. What about the tefillin? Wear the tefillin, so Pash Warm Shaz, he wore tefillin. Or you can say, our mayor says, that maybe it wasn't tefillin, there was an upgrade. What's a tefillin shel roish? The tzitz. Chazal make numerous drashas, they learn all many halachas one from the other, that they have to have kedusha of the tefillin, because the tefillin has 42 shemos, 21 apiece. 21 shemos in the tefillin shel roish, 21 shemos in the tefillin shel yad. And the tzitz only had one shame. And the tzitz only had one shem, Kodesh La Hashem. And we learn just like there by the tzitz, all these halachas, so too, when it comes to halachas, kam, and tzitz. So you see, Chazal did equate to some degree the tzitz with the tefillin. So the Kohen Gadol, he had an upgrade. Kodesh La Hashem, the tefillin is concealed. The Shem Hashem is written in a parasha, within a parasha, it's hidden. And now it's exposed in public in gold. Gold, Kodesh La Hashem.
But he's missing the tefillin
shal yad. Where's the tefillin shal yad? The choshen, the urim v'tumim, the hoya alev aharon. What does it say about the tefillin shal yad? The hoya lo sal yotcho, the hoya lo zikron be'er. It says that it should be neged halev. What does the pasuk say? The hoya lo chol os al yotcho, uzikron be'er. And the next parasha says, it says, it's a pasuk. I forgot the pasuk. I just don't recall. But the tefillin shel yad is supposed to be kineged the lathe. Right? Isn't that the halacha? What do you put the tefillin? All the halachas, it has to be kineged the lathe. What's the upgrade to the Kohen Gadol, the holiest man? You don't just wear tefillin, kineged the lathe. You wear the Shem Hashem, the Urim, the Tumim, the Chayshon HaMishpat. Within the Eifa, within the underside of the Chesh HaMishpat, the whole setting is the Hoya Alev Aharon. So you have the Tzitz Kneged the Moyach, the Chesh Nal Halev, and this. I'm not saying this is not a unique Torah. Unfortunately, they say this in many different. There's a Sfasemes that talks like this. There's a Chedesh Arim, I think, and they talk about the Sharsheros represents the Ritzuos. I'm not familiar with all the details. I didn't pull the details, but there is such an idea that the Kohen Gadol wore a magnified version of tzitzis and tefillin. So now my question, now let's come back. My question now is, we had two questions. We had a chazal. Chazal said there's mitzvos, there's mezuzah, and there is tefillin, and tzitzis. Another question was, what is the mizbeach hazav doing in Parshas Tetzaveh? I want to suggest the mizbeach hazav is the mezuzah of the Beis HaMikdash. It's the upgraded, magnified version of the mezuzah. Now, why do I want to say that? What is the mezuzah on the Pesach Habayis? When you come into the Pesach Habayis, where is the mizbeach hazav? It's right in the center. Look at the models. It's 20 amos in, right in the center. It's not just on the Pesach. It's the Iker Habayis. It's the center of the Bayis. It's the center. Another example. What did you do in Mitzrayim? What did we do in Mitzrayim in order to save ourselves from the Mashchis? The night. The Dam HaPesach, the Amila, Al HaMashkoif, Yal Shtei HaMezuzos. The blood had to be smeared. What do you do with the Mizbeach Hazav? You put the blood on the four corners, and on tier on the surface, the Dam, that's what the Pasuk here says. That's what it says in this Pasuk. You bring Ketores. Milvad, besides bringing Ketores on the Mizbeach, Achas Bashana, Aaron HaKohen, that's the last Pasuk, will come with the Dam HaPar, Dam HaSoyer, and will sprinkle the Dam HaPar, Dam HaSoyer on the Mizbeach Hazav. Why is he pouring blood on the Mizbeach Hazav? The Mizbeach, he pour blood on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. It's not the place where you put blood. It's different, because this Mizbeach really represents to some degree what the Mezuzah represents. Now I'll give you another example. It's not a complete Var, but I just want to point out some similarities and then perhaps you can elaborate. Another similarity. We all know that the Ketores, Ketores is Nachas Yot Kadosh Baruch Hu. What is everyone brainwashed to know about the guitarist? One thing you know about the guitarist, you know, it brings Hashiras. Even though we've never seen a person get rich from saying the guitarist the whole day, somehow you don't want to take your chances. So the guitarist is a segula for Hashiras. What does it say in the mezuzah? Well, there are two parashas in the mezuzah. There's Kabbalah Zomal Chashamayim, Shema Yisrael. But let's put aside the other commandments. These commandments, you put on tefillin, put on the mezuzah, love Hashem, do the mitzvos, kabbalos amal chashvam, kabbalos amitzvos. There's only one, what about God? What's in it for us? There is one thing. There's ashirus. V'hoyo im shmoyel, v'nasati eise besodcha, livim techa, v'yachalta, v'sovata. All the brachos of Kriyash and of Gashmias are Ashiros. The ultimate brachas of Ashiros are indeed in the mezuzah. The Hoyam Shmoy Tishmael Mizai Shonach Mitzavis Hoyam Leav Hashem Lola B'chol V'chol V'nasati M'tarachem B'yito Yoyre U'malkosh V'yosavta V'gonecha V'sirochcha V'yitzarecha V'nasati Eisa V'yosavta V'lunecha V'yachalta V'savata. What more, what greater school of Ashiros could you possibly have? Why is it that when you bring Ketores, it doesn't say anywhere any remes that bringing Ketores in the Torah and the Tanakh is going to be a school of Ashiras? Where did it come to such a thing? Such a Mishigas? Oh, the Ketores is Ashiras, and they never let a Kohen do it more than once, and you have to share the wealth. Well, show me a remes somewhere in Tanakh that bringing Ketores is going to bring you Ashiras. Well, if you tell me that the Mizbeach Hazav is the equivalent of the mezuzah, and it's a super magnified mezuzah, we don't want to get the mezuzah in the way, right? You don't want to take up space, everything takes up space. You have to have a nice standing room table, you have to have furniture, so the mezuzah will put it on the door when you come in on the side. But the super magnified mezuzah is a piece of furniture, and the piece of furniture is not just on the side of the door, it's in the center of the bayis. And this is the place where you maktir nachas ruach Hashem. You don't get anything out of this. There's no kapara. When you bring Ketores on the mezbech hazav every single day, do you get kapara? There's no kapara. It's just a reminder. A reminder to give Hashem nachas ruach, to do what you're supposed to do. There's nothing in it for you. But being that mezbech corresponds to the mezuzah, and the mezuzah actually spells out what the blessing is for observing doing the mitzvah, and you're going to have parnasa b'shefa, Oh, so when you super magnify your mezuzah by bringing ketores, taka yizrechat hashiras. You super magnify the bracha of hashiras. It fits to some degree.
And if ketores, when they say it's for hashiras, it's on cloth, and the mezuzah is on cloth.
Okay.
And that's why they put on the wall the Beis Medrash, right?
So we have the Dama Pesach Ba'amila. And that explains, so this is the ikkar part I'm trying to get to, why it does not appear in Parshas Truma, but appears in Parshas Tetzaveh. Because Parshas Tetzaveh are reminders. The Kohen Gadol dresses a certain way. It's not avoda. Parshas, we associate the ketores as an avoda. I'm doing an avoda to be back of a karmat Hashem. The menorah is an avoda. The shulchan is an avoda. The mizbeach hachitzan is an avoda. The ketores is not an avoda. It's not a service to Hashem. It's a service to yourself. Remind yourself what you're supposed to do in this world. Okay, it's there are different aspects. It's not totally to yourself. We know that there is some degree of avoda, but it's a different type of avoda where the focus is on a reminder. So just like tefillin, it's a reminder. Hashem's name is on me. My moyach has to be bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tefillin shel yad. I got to behave myself. Like my actions have to conform to the Torah. My tzitzis, it's a reminder. The ketores is the reminder. So the mizbeach hazav is a reminder. The mizbeach, so it comes out that Parshas Tetzaveh is the super magnified version of Kol mi sheyesh lo tefillin b'roishoy utefillin b'zroyoy v'tzitzis b'bigdoy and a mezuzah b'pischoy muvtach lo sheloy b'chel yodo. The Kohen Gadol, who is the represents Klal Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael personified, has the tefillin b'roishoy the tzitz, the tefillin b'zroyoy has the choshen alivoy to the lathe, has the tzitz the big day, the pamoinim, the nishma koiloi, a different type of tzitzis, and the mezuzah, the pischoi. When you walk in center, front and center, you have there your mizbeach hazav, the super magnified mashkoi for shtei hamezuzoi for haraya. The fact that you pour the blood there, you put the blood there as well. Muftach lo shaloi bochet liyadai. These are reminders for us and for Klal Yisrael. Perhaps a different approach to understand the purpose of the mizbech. Okay, let me go to another idea. I found this idea. This idea, the shorashim of this idea, found in Rav Nissen Alpert. Found it to be something very interesting. I want to expand upon what he says. It's something very powerful. Kohen Gadol, we know where's how many begadim? Eight begadim. You know this part? What he says? Probably. I'm sure you do. It's the balking of Nissen Alpert's chidushim. How does the average person look at the eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol? Another four, right? The average guy wears four. So the Kohen Gadol, you know, you're a rav. You wear a better hat. You wear a different type of garment. You know, it's rabbinic garb. It's extra enhancements. So if this is not the pshat. That might be a pshat in a chanami. He wants to suggest what you really the Kohen Gadol is doing is he's doubling the four begadim. It's a doubling. Now, what do I mean the doubling? A regular person, an ordinary person, you know, the greater you are, the greater the Yetzirah. It grows with you. A regular person, he needs to control his head, whatever the problems of the head are. So, how does he control his head? He wears a garment. What's the garment? He wears a hat. A mitznefes, a migbaos, he wears a hat. The Kohen Gadol is in a higher madrega. His head has a much greater yetzer. So in addition to reinforce the hat, to reinforce his white hat, he has to also wear a tzitz. It's not the pshat that he wears a tzitz, and the tzitz has nothing to do with the other garments. The tzitz, Rav Nissen Alpert says, and I'll try to elaborate upon this in a moment, the tzitz is a reinforcement for the mitznefes, not in isolation. Let's go to another example. We have the michna. Let's go to the avnate. What's the belt? A regular kohen, ordinary guy, ordinary kohen. He wears a belt. Why do you wear a belt? Chassidim are really into this. You can't go to the amud unless you wear a gartel. What's the gartel? She'ein libo yiroya es ha'erva. You got to separate the heart, the ruchnius, from the gashmis. Ein libo yiroya es ha'erva. Yeah, for the average guy, it's enough to wear a belt. But the Kohen Gadol, Chayim Adrega, a much greater Yetzirah, he has to put on the Choshen. Because the Choshen goes on the heart. So just like the belt is mavdil between the lathe and the erva, you need to reinforce the lathe. The lathe has to be reinforced with the choshen. The choshen, it's a very important yisoid. It's a fine point, but it's going to make a very big difference in a moment. The choshen is reinforcing the avnet. Let's go next example. We have the kesoines. Okay, the kesoines is the tunic, right? The shirt. A regular kohen wears it, really it's like a gown almost. It's a gown, goes all the way down, it's a gown, the kesoines. It covers your body, you don't want to be walking out of it. So what does the kohen gadol need to do? Hayim Adrega. I need the me'il. It's not just enough to wear a linen garment, I need to wear a woolen garment. A woolen garment made of tcheles to reinforce that my body is covered. For that. Now, oh, so now the last one is the hardest one. The last one is a little bit more difficult, but this is what he says. So far everything fits perfect. So far everything, I think everything fits well. The last one is a little bit more difficult, but it fits. The nichnasama, the undergarments, basically means the low from the waist below, covering the erva. What is the last garment of the kohen we did not mention? Is the ephod. The ephod is also the ephod is another garment which he suggests is an enforcement of covering the erva. Now, the only elaboration I could suggest is we find that by the Nevi'im, we find the Bnei HaNevi'im, Shmuel, anyone that was in a high madrega wore an ephod. And what is the most basic thing you wear, every person has to wear? The first thing a person wears is mechnasayim. Because that's, you can't daven, that's mamash erva. The fact that we find that in the person was the higher madrego, he wore an ephod, even though the Kohen Gadol wore an ephod, but an ephod was a garment that was worn in ancient times by holy people. You were a Rosh Hashiva, you wore an ephod. Okay, you didn't wear the tzitz, and you didn't wear the mi'il, but if you were a person of a high madrego, you were a navi, all of the Nevi'im, the prophets, it's the back. It's a garment which covers primarily the back part of your body. Okay, there's a whole question with the if it looks like we're brainwashed with the picture books, it's what it looks like, it's not similar to look like, whatever the law is, it's another garment. But one thing that we do know as a fact, that anyone who was a Navi, Nevi'im wore ephods. And Kohanim, who were on the higher level, who were elevated to a higher madrega, also wore an ephod. So you see that it's something which is the basic upgrade. Just like the Michnasayim is the first upgrade from nakedness, you upgrade. To reinforce, when you want to upgrade from being an Arum, you have to be upgraded with the Michnasayim. The next upgrade is the ephod. So there is also a similarity between the two in this respect. Now, why am I telling this to you? Because I think there's something very deep we can expand upon. We know that each one of the garments brought kapara. We have 8 garments. Each one of the garments achieved kapara, just the fact that they were worn a kapara. Now, look at the kapara that they achieved. Now we'll go through the 8 garments in a moment. But we can now understand that when the Kohen Gadol wears an extra garment, and he's coming to give kapara, it's not just he's coming to give Klal Yisrael another darga of kapara. There are 8 garments. Each garment brings kapara for Klal Yisrael. On a very superficial level, every Kohen brings for Klal Yisrael 4 types of kapara. The Kohen Gadol adds another 4. Is that the pshat? No. The pshat is when the Kohen Gadol wears the extra 4 garments, he's coming to give kapara for the shoresh, the root cause of the 4 main sins. There are only four types of sins. When the Kohen Gadol wears an extra 4 garments, he's not coming to give new kapara for 4 new sins. He's coming to give kapara for the fine point, the shoresh, the root cause of those 4 particular sins. Now, let's go for example. What is the kesoines? Let's go to the last example first. This is very simple. Michnasayim. What is the michnasayim mechaper on? The pants. The michnasayim is mechaper on gili arayis. Chazal. Everything is chazal. Gili arayis. So when every single kohen puts on undergarments, that itself is the kapar for gili arayis. What is the ephod mechaper for? Avodah Zarah. That's what Chazal said. There's a very popular Chazal. Chazal said the only reason why Klal Yisrael worship the eagle is only in order to do Gilui Arayos. The shoresh of Gilui Arayos, the reason why a person worships Avodah Zarah, is you want to create a new religion in order to have to make breaches and derive benefit. So Avodah Zarah, when Klal Yisrael nichshol in Gilui Arayos, they need kapara. The Kohen Gadol has to go the next step. He has to find what's the shoresh. Why did Klal Yisrael come to be nichshol in Gilui Arayos? It's usur. You know what the shoresh is? Because they worship Avodah Zarah. And when you worship Avodah Zarah, you make yourself a new religion, which allows you to do Gilui. That's what Chazal say. So the Kohen Gadol is just going one level deeper. It's not a new type of kapar. It's a level deeper. Let's go to the case of the mitznevis. What is the mitznevis mechaper for? Chazal say gaiva. Gaiva. What is the tzitz mechaper for? Chutzpah. Az is meitzach. So are they two separate things? No. Chutzpah leads to gaiva. Chutzpah is a finer point. Person has chutzpah. It's not necessarily about gaiva. He's a good person. I'm a very good person. I think very little of myself, but I just don't know my place. Chutzpah. The more chutzpah you have, the more you become a shtickle bal gaiva. So the Kohen Gadol is just going one step deeper. Let's go to the avne. Now this now gets a little more difficult. Okay, now it gets more difficult. The avne and the choshen. What is the avne mechaper on? Avne is mechaper on hirur halev, hirurim, evil thoughts. Person that cannot can control his thoughts. What is the choshen mechaper on? And this is a very fine point. If there's truth to this, it has to really be understood. Kilkul hadin, corruption. So, according to, if you say this is true, corruption. When a person is corrupt in law, in honesty, integrity, a lack of integrity in dealing with people leads to a corruption of the mind. There's definitely some truth to that. When a person is not honest to his friends, honest with yourself, your mind becomes corrupt. You're not able to clearly discern between what's right and what's wrong. And then in your mind, if you make decisions, you know, Reuven is right and Shimon is wrong. But you know what? I don't care. I'm a judge. I'm going to award the money to the wrong person. When you practice doing that, you corrupt your mind. And when you corrupt your mind, in your mind everything goes. Your whole mind, all of the thoughts of your mind become corrupt, and then it becomes a slippery slope, and everything is corrupt. So it's the Kilkul Hadin is the fine point which leads to a hero. And the last example is the kisoynes and the ne'il. What is the kisoynes mechaber for? It's mechaber shvichas tamim. Kisoynes is mechaber wearing the kisoynes bini, Yosef, with the brothers of Yosef. And what's the ne'il mechaber for? Lashon hara, the bells. So this is very true. How does it come shvichas tamim? Klal Yisrael needs kapar for shvichas tamim. So the kohanim wear kisoynes. So the son is mechaper for shvichastam. The Kohen Gadol, he's on a higher madrega. It's not just enough to be mechaper for shvichastam. I need to be mechaper for the shoresh. How did it ever come about that there was shvichastam? It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. Where did the process begin that it came with the shvichastam? Lashon hara. Lashon hara. It all starts with slander. One thing leads to the next, it leads to hatred, kimayim panim al panim, to the ultimate hatred, shvichas tamim. So, I think Rav Nissen Alper, what he's saying here, opens up for us a very powerful insight. Average person will tell you there are 8 begadim. Kain wears 4, Kain Gadol wears none of 4, Hayil Chod, Vahayil Chod, they have nothing what to do with each other. Rav Nissen Alper says there's no such thing. The extra 4 of the Kohen Gadol reinforced the first 4 of the Kohen Hegit. And now when we look at Chazal, how they tell us what each of the 4 mechaper on, taking the sort of Rav Nissen Alpert, we understand that when the Kohen Gadol, he's not just bringing atonement for a new sin. We have many sins. He's coming, the Kohen Gadol is coming to dig deeper into the root of the sin, why the sin happened to begin with. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos. Zayin Gazon.